The Word's alive. The Word's powerful. The Word's able to make your ministry. Remember, you have a ministry. Remember? See, it says up there, every saint a minister. That means every born-again believer in Jesus Christ is a minister. And He's able to make your ministry or your service limitless. Have you ever thought about that? That God is limitless? Just think what He can do. He can speak and things happen everywhere. Things change everywhere. All He had to do in the midst of deep, dark, black was say, light. There was light. That's all He had to do. And it's the same way today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Praise God. Praise God. You know, the beautiful thing that you were saying, Dan, and I was sitting there thinking about it, is that God's able to bring us to a place in understanding here where we can come before Him without a sense of guilt. What deliverance. No guilt. Say it. No guilt. That's what God does for us. No guilt. You know, it's not that way in the world. The world's always trying to heap guilt on. Religion's always trying to put guilt on. No guilt. And He did something even greater than that. He made us in such a way that when we come before His presence, we can come without a sense of guilt or inferiority. We usually feel inferior. Well, it's not that He's not greater than we are. Don't get me wrong. But He wants us to realize that when we come into His house, we can get in the refrigerator. That's better than being just a guest, isn't it? You come into somebody's house. Even if you came to my house today, probably takes most of you a little while before you'd feel free to get in my refrigerator. But, you know, not that I want it to be that way, but God just wants you to know you can just walk right on in and you can get in the refrigerator. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Do you see what kind of a relationship He wants with you? That's so good. That's powerful. Praise God. I believe what you said today, Dan, was for someone. I believe what you were speaking there was really for someone, really ministered to someone's need in their heart. I really do believe that. So, praise God. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Remember now we're talking that the Lord is likening His body, the church, the ecclesia, that gathering. That's all church means, you know, is a gathering, a coming together. Congregation may really be a better word for what we are. We're a congregation. We congregate, and we should not forsake the congregating or assembling of ourselves together, because that is going to be the sign of the end times. That's the manner of some. They're going to become more and more, and I can't tell you how many people I know, believers, that don't go to church anymore. They've quit church. They've been hurt. They've been places that are bad. As far as they're concerned, I don't know if that they're bad, but they've been places where they've had problems. And so they just quit. And I'm not saying that every organized church is worthy to be called a church. I'm not saying that, because some aren't churches. But I'll tell you what I do know is that we need one another. Amen? We need to be together. And when we're together, we have a good effect on each other. If we come in the name of Jesus, if we come to glorify and magnify His name, if we come to worship Him and honor Him and to learn of Him, that's what it's about. It's when we get off in all these other little things, all these little projects and things that go on and all of these. And, you know, one of the problems is, you know, that many people think about ministry as being a position. I need a position if I'm in the ministry. Well, really, it's not a position as much as it's a station. It's where I'm stationed. Think about that. I happen to be stationed here. Aren't we an army? And if we can begin to think about it that way. But it says that God has set the members in the verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Kind of goes back to what you're saying too, Dan, about that relationship with God and how He feels about us, you know. And He's pleased with you. And He's really pleased with you if you take your place in the body as He hath called you. He's really pleased about that. And He's put you there. Today I want to skip a lot of the review that we usually do. And there's a lot of good review that needs to go along with it. But I want to get moving a little bit further on this. And I want to get into a section today because I think the world has given us the idea, the church has given us the idea that, oh, God may have a call upon your life, but oh, you're going to have to seek to find it. Oh, you're going to have to fast. You're going to have to pray because, I mean, after all, God called you, but He doesn't really want you to find it. He made it hard. He made it really hard. He wants you to fit in the body, and it's going to please Him when you get there. But I'll tell you what, He made it difficult. It's a mystery. Now, does that sound like your father? No. What does that sound like? That sounds like that religious God I used to hear about all the time. And the reason for that, I think, somehow, is that people elevated themselves by making everybody think that if it's such a mystery, look how I have attained to have found my place. See? No. Actually, what we were talking about weeks ago is that God put desires in you that will indicate things about your call. Now, I'm not talking about the things that come under the heading of lust, those kinds of desires. But I'm talking about the things you like to do, the way you relate to people. You know, I mentioned last week I've got a good friend that he just relates to old people. He just really gets along well with old people, always has. And he told me a long time ago, you know, I like to just sit and talk to the old folks and help them. Henrietta's brother's that way. Now, he's had that way before he got born again. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't even born again, and that was just kind of a way he is. Now that he's born again, that's a part of his ministry. And it needs to grow. See, it never gets where it's going to be in a minute. It always takes time for it to grow. But what I'm showing you is, he could have seen that way back. I told my story about how no matter where I was always put in a position of instructing. I was a trainer postmaster when I was in the post office. I was a trainer when I worked in a warehouse for Montgomery Ward's back in 1962. I was a trainer. That's what I did. They would bring new employees to me and I would train them. After I became a postmaster, I used to travel all around this area and go into the different post offices and I would train postmasters. And it's just things that I did. But I had that on the inside of me. I taught and spoke and communicated from the time I was a kid. And like I say, a lot of the natural side of that got me in trouble. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You can understand that. Can you imagine being in school with me when we were in the third grade? And I already had this gift working on the inside, but I didn't know what to do with it. See, people have that. It's working in you. There's things in you. I don't know how Jonathan's musical gift developed, but I can just almost tell you that when he was a teenager, he probably had some kind of musical instrument around, right?
Yeah?
Yeah,
I would play alone in my room.
Right,
I just like to play alone. I just, that's the way I connected with God.
Right, and probably when he was a kid sitting in his high chair, he probably was pounding on stuff and syncopating and... maybe he rubbed a little food in his hair too, but that's all right.
It worked.
It worked. Most of us went through that stage, didn't we? But the point is, we've come along through this, and we hear now, you know, in fact, have you ever had somebody come up? New Christians do this often. I don't know, but I just feel like I have a call on my life. Well, now listen. You know, be real wise about this, because... You know, this is one of the things that sometimes Christians then just go ahead and say, oh, yes, yes, you do. We'll pray about it. No. Say, yep, you do. Absolutely, you have a call on your... There's no doubt about that. You're called. Just let them know right away. Now, the matter is, find out what it is that where you fit. Find out what it is. You remember we talked about the geese? Have you noticed a lot of geese up here lately? You know, it gets to be this time of year and the geese are flying. Where are they going? I don't know where they came from, and I'm not sure where they're going, but you know what? They know where they're going. Those geese know where they're going. The hummingbirds that were all around here in the year, we were reading about them. The hummingbirds that are up here during the middle of the year probably end up in places like Costa Rica in the wintertime. Now think about that little bitty thing that beats his wings I don't know how many times a second. I mean, they're just literally buzzing, you know. They can go from here to Costa Rica. How do they know where Costa Rica is? Really, think about it. When I go to Costa Rica, it's complicated. Right? You remember that? It's a little complicated. Did you guys go out of Houston? Go out of Houston? I think that's where we went out of Houston when we went to Costa Rica. Or maybe we went out of Miami. I don't remember. It doesn't make any difference. But you see, we didn't know, but those hummingbirds do. How do they know this? How does a bear know to go get in a cave and sleep in the wintertime? How does he know to eat up a bunch before he does? Well, see, God's put that knowing on the inside. Say knowing. Knowing. He's put a knowing in them. A knowing in them. And see, what I want you to get today is the call of God is not confusing. Amen. It's not a confusing thing. How do I know that? Yeah, it's out of the Word. And let me just give you a word that you might not think of using for this, but out of 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of shalom." See, the opposite, I believe, of confusion is shalom. In confusion, everything's fragmented. Isn't that right? Confusion. Confusion. Did you know that when James talks about people wavering, another word in that section is that it's translated that word could be confusion. People that ask of God and don't expect to receive, they're just confused, aren't they? People that are wavering, they're confused. But confusion is not something God is. God's not the author of it, and God's not confused. How many believe that? Not confused a bit. As much mess as there is down here on this beautiful earth that he made, and as much as people screw things up, you know, God's not confused. He doesn't get up in the morning and say, "Oh no, look what they've done now." He doesn't do that. He doesn't ever have a problem when somebody comes to him and says, "Lord, I'm going to need a little extra this month." He doesn't say, "Oh boy, I didn't plan for that. What are we going to do now?" Does he? I said, does he? God's not confused. If it's confusion, listen to me now. If there's confusion, God's not in it. You believe that? Then why are so many of us confused? Because, you know, if you really look around at the body, at the church, at the churches, many confused people. And many of them are confused about where they belong and what they do. You know, if you watch, we had jokes that we called church members for a while. You remember the charismatic move was a big move of God when the Holy Spirit moved in. He moved into all kinds of denominations and everything, and there was all kind of movement. But after a while, they quit calling them charismatics and started calling them cruisematics, because these people were cruising around from one church to another. If somebody was speaking over here, that's where they were that time. They never got hooked up. They never got established. They never took a place in ministry. The Bible says God's not the author of that, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. That's the way it's supposed to be in every church. Not supposed to be confusion, is there? How many people are confused about their place in the body? How many people are confused about, think about it now, how many people are still always saying, now listen, I'm not talking about people that are growing and by the way, sometimes your place will change slightly. We watched in the New Testament, we watched Philip, who was one of the first called deacons in the church. You remember that? Philip was a deacon. Now what that meant was he was a servant, and his servant work at the beginning was to actually, well, the scripture calls it waiting on tables. Because he helped to make sure that the food distribution was done properly and equitably. Obviously had to have several gifts to do that, but I don't believe that he actually so much was a hands-on waiter as he was overseeing the getting it out, which was probably a big job. I mean, remember, this church had grown from 12 people to 120 people to 5,000 plus women and children in just a few days. And then after that, a few days later, another 5,000 were added. Remember that? I guess I was 3,120 and then 8,120. And always they were talking about counts of men besides women and children. Whew. So, you know, it was a job to see to it that everything was taken care of properly. And as they begin to take care of the widows, why Philip was doing this. But we read about Philip later on. Where is he? Huh? Yeah, he's in Shamron. Shamron is Samaria. He was up in Shamron evangelizing in the church up there. He had become an evangelist. Well, I believe it was that same call of God working him on through. You know, one of the things I told, I told Paul this morning. I looked out the window and I saw Paul and Dan out there with shovels in their hands. And I said, you can always tell an elder. Elders are the guys that grab the snow shovels and work on the things that need to be done. If they see something that needs to be done, it doesn't make any difference. You know? So, you might be heading for eldership because I saw you with a snow shovel in your hand today. Amen. Yeah, I'm not going to call you elder yet because you're too young, but you're heading that way. Willingness. A willingness to do things. Let me ask you this about Yeshua. He walked this earth. The Bible said wherever he went, he was doing good. How do you see him? Walking around saying, hey, where should I go now? What's next for good? I got to do good. Do you see him that way? How do you see Jesus? Man, he had purpose, didn't he? He knew where he was going. Now, somebody said, oh, but he was God. Was he? Yeah. Absolutely. But was he acting as God on this earth? No. No. He was coming down here acting just like we act, knowing just how we have to act, exactly what we have to do. He had things he didn't know. Did you know that? There were things Jesus didn't know. Do you remember the fig tree? When he was walking by one day, it says he saw a fig tree afar off, and he approached it to see if it had any fruit on it. Well, if he'd have been omniscient, wouldn't he have known there was no fruit on it? He could have saved all those steps. But you see, there was nothing working in him at that time to show him that. So he had certain times when he didn't know things, didn't he? Sometimes he didn't know what was going to happen next. Let me give you an example. It said in John 4:1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Well, see, if he'd have been omniscient, he'd have known it from the beginning. He had to find it out, didn't he? Somebody had to tell him in this particular case. God, if Jesus had been acting as God, which he is, he would have been omniscient and he would have known everything from the beginning. But he wasn't. The Bible said he became flesh. He became flesh. In fact, the scripture says, a body thou hast prepared for me. What was the purpose of that body? Well, he was to be our sacrifice. Therefore, he had to inhabit our body just like we do. He also, Philippians 2:5, says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. I want you to know Jesus knows what it's like to be us. Jesus knows exactly what it's like to be us. Until he came to this earth, he couldn't have known that, could he? But when he came to this earth in the incarnation and took the form of human flesh, he took upon himself human flesh because he didn't regard being God something he had to hang on to. He said, no, I'll go down there and I'll die for their sins. Verse 7 says, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. He became one of us. He knew our limitations. Do you have limitations? Yeah. You see, I can have the mind of Christ and still have limitations here on this earth. I can't walk through walls yet. Right? I'm not going to try either. Now, let me just say this. If God wanted to do a miracle, I could walk through a wall. Right? I could be driving along and suddenly be transported to a different place. Do you know that happened even in, technically, you'd say it happened in Old Testament times because the beginning of Jesus' miracles was done in Old Testament time. New Testament times really didn't begin until he died, was buried, and rose again. That was the beginning of New Testament, wasn't it? So he was walking as a prophet, a priest, a king on this earth, as a man. And yet when he got into the boat after he had been walking on the water, one account of that says, and they were immediately at the other side. Wow! Can you imagine what these guys are doing? You know, first they've been scared witless. They're out there. They're scared because there's a storm. And then, to make things worse, they look up and here comes somebody walking on the water. Then they're really scared. Jesus gets in the boat. He says, remember, Peter got out and walked to him. But when he gets in the boat, what's Jesus say? Why were you afraid? Where's your faith? And then one account says, and they were immediately at the other side. That happened several times, by the way, in Scripture. So don't discount it. It could happen to you someday, too. I believe that. There's several nights I've been coming home from Denver late that I've been really believing for that, you know. Apparently not quite enough. But you understand what I'm saying. Jesus wasn't confused, though. He knew what he was going to do when he was on this earth. Why? You never see him, you know, after the Sermon on the Mount. You never see a portion where it says, and Jesus came up to his disciples afterward and said, fellas, did that sound okay? Have you ever known a preacher that didn't ask somebody that one time or another? Was that okay? Did you think that was all right? I try not to do that because Henriette will tell me. Used to know a pastor that his wife used to critique his sermons after every Sunday morning. And the guy would go out with a real happy, you know, countenance. And later in the day, I'd hear from him. He'd call me and say, oh, I just really feel bummed. And I said, what's the matter? Well, so-and-so said to me that his wife, I'm not naming her, said to me that I did this and I said that today. And I said, man, if you said something wrong, just ask the Lord to forgive you and get over it. I didn't hear it, you know. But you see, that's the way people do. People will do that. See, that's confusion working in us. We're not sure. See, I want to be to the place where when I speak, I know that God's in it. That's where boldness comes from. Did you know that? Did you know boldness comes from knowing? Say knowing.
Knowing.
Boldness comes from knowing. Now, there can be a bad side of boldness. You know, some people are bold with us and they're really rude. Have you ever had somebody be bold that way and it's just rudeness? That's not real true boldness. But when you know something and you're assured of something and you're convinced of something, boldness comes right out of that, doesn't it? Isn't that the way we'll act if we know? If we know. And so when I say to somebody, it's God's will for him to heal you, that's not wishful thinking. That's a fact that I know. I know it because the Word of God says, anyone that comes to him, he will in no wise cast them out. And the Bible says when Jesus walked this earth, he knew what he was about. And it said, and Jesus healed them all. Think about that. So I know that. I don't have to ask about it. I know what the Bible says about it. He took my infirmities, He bore my sicknesses. If He took your infirmities and sicknesses, then you don't have to take them anymore, right? They don't belong to you. He took them. If He took your sins in His own body on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, and by His stripes you were healed, then we ought not be sick. I said we ought not be sick. And when we are sick, it's not because God has willed to teach us something by sickness. It's because the devil got in and deceived us and got us to take something. In fact, isn't that what people say? Say, I think I'm taking a cold. And have you ever heard somebody say that? I think I'm taking the flu. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're taking it. Let's not do it. Let's talk the other way. Let's talk what the Word of God says. If you're confused, God's not in it. If there's confusion in your life, God's not in it. Good news, you can get out of it. You can come out of it. Confusion is not to be in God's people. It's not His plan for you to be confused. Yeshua was clear about His call, wasn't He? He knew what He was doing. Think about how He talked to them. John 10 is a good section on that. But I mean, if you go through the Bible, there's just time after time after time that He tells people, I'm doing what the Father told me to say. I'm saying what He told me to say. I'm just, what I'm doing today, I'm doing what I saw with my Father. I remember Brother Hagin used to say things occasionally. He'd say, I saw something in my spirit and I'm going to act upon it. And at first, you know, I thought, boy, that's a long way off from me. But you know, I've begun to see that. I begin to see things as I pray for people. Sometimes a day or so before, I'll see myself doing something or saying something to someone. I see it in my spirit and then I just act upon it. You have good results when you do that. You have good results when you do that. Scripture says that Jesus had to grow and increase in wisdom. Isn't that right? Luke 2:52 says Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and man. He was growing, but we can grow and not be confused. He wasn't confused. See, omniscience couldn't increase or grow, could it? But He was increasing and growing, so we know He wasn't omniscient when He was here on this earth. And yet He knew that He had a place. And He understood a lot about that place, but I don't believe that the moment Jesus was born that He had all knowledge. He grew. In fact, we read about Him when He was 12 years old and He went with His parents into Jerusalem. That He did something that's strange, you know, from our way of looking at it. But He stayed behind when His parents left. Now, I don't think He was... I know there was no rebellion in that. I really believe He was there talking and time got away and just didn't realize. They didn't realize He wasn't someplace else, but... When they found Him, He said, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old. He knew He had a place, didn't He? He was crystal clear about His business. He knew when He was 12 years old that He had a place in the kingdom of God. He knew that God was His Father. Now, how did He know it? Well, I believe He finds things out the same way you and I find things out. But He knew why He was here. He knew where He was to be, when He was to go. Think about the times He said things like that. Remember when Lazarus was sick? He told him, Lazarus is sick, but it's not time for me to go yet. Well, He didn't know that because He was God. He had a word of wisdom. See? We read about these manifestations of the Spirit. A word of wisdom was given to Him. A word of knowledge was often given. You remember how many times it says, Jesus knowing their thoughts? Well, that's a word of knowledge. Have you ever been with somebody and all of a sudden you knew their thoughts? You knew what they were thinking. By the way, that's all right. That's okay. That's all right to be that way. You're not giving them a reading. You're not reading their palm. You're not checking out their tea leaves. You know, you just know on the inside. They're just a knowing. I was praying with a guy one night, and And I just stopped and I said, you know, and the devil's going to try to really condemn you about this time. And he looked at me like, how did you know that? Because he said, just as you said that, the devil was telling me something I'd done to my younger brother. He said, how did you know it? Well, I didn't know it. I just had this knowing on the inside, but there was no advanced knowledge of it. If you'd have been around Brother Hagin when he was teaching, there would be times when he was working under the anointing that he would start quoting Scripture. He'd just start quoting. And sometimes he'd quote a chapter or more of Scripture. Just quote it. And people would ask him, well, did you memorize that? No, I didn't memorize that. Well, how did you know it? I just knew it. It just came to me right then. Now, obviously, he kept it in front of him. But do you understand that works that way? That most of the Scripture that I quote, I've not memorized. Most of the Scripture that I know have not been committed to memory. They just are in me. They're down in my heart and in my spirit. It's that way with anybody that'll let it happen. You'll find that it'll begin to happen to you. And I notice Kim a lot. She'll say, now I don't know where this is found, but you quote it. That's all right. You don't have to know where everything's found. It's okay. My grandmother says, I can't remember its address. That's true, you know. We can't remember just where it is. But Jesus knew he had a business. He knew it was his Father's business. He often knew what people were thinking. Remember, he did that with his disciples more than once. They'd be talking underneath their breath, and he'd start telling them what they were talking about. They'd be saying, well, I think I'm greater than you are. And he'd say, you know, among the Gentiles, he says, the greater ones lorded over the other ones. But he says, not so among my people. He said, my people. Now see, he just brings this up. And isn't that so neat, you know? Brings it up right while they're talking about it and begins to teach him about it. He hadn't overheard him. He just knew it. But you see, how did he know? Same way you can know. That's what I want you to see out of this. If you don't get anything else out of this, I want you to know that you can know just like Jesus knew. Your place and your call can be just as clear to you as it was to him. Think about this. Yeshua, remember when he was 12 years old, he knew he had something going. He already knew it was his Father's business. I don't think he knew everything about that yet, do you? I mean, I don't think he understood everything about it. He was asking questions and talking. That's what they said, asking and telling them things. But I think Yeshua, as he studied, remember he had to study the Word just like we do. I believe he found himself in the Scripture. Can you see that? Can you see? Have you ever been reading a place in Scripture and just knew it was for you? Whoa! Well, see, I believe that happened to Jesus a lot because there's a lot of prophecy about him. But I believe there's prophecy about you in the Word of God. I believe there's things about you in the Word. I believe you can find yourself. One day Jesus was reading, though, and he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah, what we call the 61st chapter, Jesus is reading, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Remember that word for anointed is Meshech. Meshech. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. Well, we know that he picked up on it, right? But I can just see him reading that day, and all of a sudden he said, that's me. That's me. Looked up at the Father, that's me, right? I believe he found himself as he went through. He was growing, remember? He was growing. He found himself. He saw himself there. And in Luke, that's the first ministry of the Word we see from him, practically, is in the synagogue. He gets that scroll of Scripture, opens it up, and reads that particular portion. And you can read about that in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, where he said the same thing. As he read, I believe he knew. It was revealed to him by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the same way things work with us. Can we find ourselves in the Word of God? You will. If you'll spend time in it. Now, I'm not saying how many hours a day. In fact, this is one of the dangerous things we do. This is dangerous. Got to get through this. I got three chapters to read here. I got to read through, boy, and you just get going. And all of a sudden, you find yourself stopped in a second, and you're reading something and say, wait a second, I want to look at that. Oh, I can't stop and pay any time on that. I've got to get on through my reading here today. You ever do that? Shame on you. See, when the Lord starts to show you something, stop. You don't have to get through anything. We're not reading for speed, right? We're just reading to get it in the inside. And I believe you'll find yourself in here. I believe the Scripture will begin to tell you what you are, where you belong, what you're to do. I believe you'll begin to see those things with the Lord just like Jesus did. I know it must be true because in John 14:12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Is that what he said? Did I misquote it? Huh?
He that believes on me.
That's right. The works that I do shall you do also. These works and greater works. Is he telling us we're going to do things just like he did? Is that what he's saying there? Is he saying you're going to be acting just like I act? He'd not. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What did Jesus do? What was his works? There were three works that are named over and over and over again. He did a lot more than these. Really, the three that you hear most often is he preached, taught, and healed the sick. Those are the three primary mission. Now, he did all of the others that you're naming there too. Multitudes more. In fact, John says, I suppose that if all the books were written that could be written, the world couldn't even contain. Think of that. Do we have the same spirit Jesus had? Is it the same Holy Spirit? How many of you remember that he didn't do any miracles or didn't really come into his ministry until that day in Jordan River when the Holy Spirit descended and stayed with him? See, now there's a lot of Christians, they want to get saved and they want to go to work, but they don't want to wait. Actually, they don't have to wait for it, but they don't want to follow the pattern of receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the accompanying gifts that go with it. Speaking in other tongues being primary. Amen. I believe that opens up so much of the other gifting if we just get to where we start praying in the Spirit. Well, you see, Jesus had the same Spirit and the same anointing, and he did everything he did as a man. 1 John 2:20 says this. It says, you have an unction. But you have an unction. Read it. Anybody know what an unction is? A what?
Power.
Okay, unction. Power. Okay. Anybody else? No.
An urge, an urging.
Okay, urging. That's good too. What else?
An anointing.
That's exactly what the word is. If you look in the 27th verse, same word. Same word. You know what that word is, don't you? That word is charisma. A charisma. An unction. An unction. An anointing. An anointing. What does an anointing do if you have an anointing? It says, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know. Say, I know.
I know.
You have an unction and I say, I know.
I know.
I know all things. What do you know? You know what God reveals to you, what he shows you. That's how Jesus knew what he knew, was the Father was showing him things as he went, as he worked, as he did. See, we've got an unction, same Spirit, same Holy Spirit, and we have an unction just like he had. Why would we have the same unction that he had? Why would we be doing the same works that he did? Why would that be? I mean, just telling me what you know about the Word, why is that so?
We're filled with His Holy Spirit.
Okay, we're filled with His Holy Spirit. What else?
We're His hands and feet.
We're what?
We're His hands and feet.
That's right. We're His hands and we're His body.
He said you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength.
All things through, and when you read that, we say through Christ who gives us strength. What would it really be saying? You can do all things through the Anointed One and His anointing. Right? What strengthens you? That anointing that He's given us, that same anointing. See, translators didn't do us any great favor with this. They left us thinking that when we read the word Christ, that we're reading a name. But it's not a name. It talks about the Anointed One, the anointing. And we have that same anointing. We have the anointing that Jesus had. Now, what do we have? We have it parceled out through the whole body. Yeshua had the Spirit of God without measure. The whole thing worked in Him. That's why He was apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's why every motivational gift worked in Him. You understand? That's why every gift of the Spirit, every manifestation of the Spirit, was at work in Him with the exception of speaking in other tongues. And He didn't need that because His mind had never been polluted with sin. You and I needed a whole lot to get past that polluted mind, the mind of the flesh. But think about it. Same Spirit, same anointing. You have it. That's what it says right here. You have an unction. You have an anointing. Say it. I have an anointing from the Holy One. I know all things. Do you know your call? Yes, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know what I'm here for. I'm here to serve Him. Now, are there things that may narrow this down into certain areas? Yes. But you see, you've started. Certain areas. Now begin to look. What do I like to do? What do I like to do? What kind of things are drawn to me? Have you ever noticed that certain people are drawn to you? Certain people come to you. There's certain people around you naturally. Now, see, this is one of the problems with going out into the highways and byways that some people do. They're soul winning this way. And by the way, if the Lord tells you to do that, do it. But I'm going to tell you that most often the people that you're going to reach are going to be the people that are drawn to you. And you're drawn to them. There's something about it. I marvel at watching Henrietta with some people, you know. She'll sit down. This gal that used to wouldn't talk at all. She sits down and starts talking to people. And you know, she doesn't start out, are you saved? That's not the first word she asks them. But you know, before long, they're talking about the Lord. I know what happens with Kim. I know people are calling her all the time. People calling her all the time. Some of the rest of you, same things going on. See, it's a call. We don't look at it because the only thing we've ever thought about it being called is to be a pastor or to be an evangelist or to be a missionary. And most of us, that's what we grew up in, was pastor, evangelist, or missionary. That's what we saw when people came to our church. Either we were a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary. Most of us never saw prophets. Now we know they're there, but still I think a lot of them don't know what they really are because the prophetic ministry is probably the least defined yet. Some people think if you want to be a prophet, you just have to be mean to everyone. Put everybody down. I don't think Jesus did it that way, do you? No, I know He didn't. Same Spirit, same anointing as He had, we have it. Amen? Amen. He was clear. Say, Jesus was clear. Jesus was clear. Say, I'm clear.
I'm clear.
Confusion has no place in me. I cast confusion down right now. I refuse confusion in my life. I am clear about what God is doing with me. My mind is being renewed to the things of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal to my mind. Make course corrections in me. Cause me right now to change.
Cause me right now to change.
To turn.
To do teshuvah.
To repent and turn around. I repent of going my own way. I'll go your way, God. You're my Abba.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want to quit. I'm not dumb, but I'm going to quit. Can you see that you can do this? That you see that this is clarity. That's what God wants us to have about. It's not confusing. Man, these things have been going on in you for years. The thing that's been confusing is you've been trying to do what mom and dad thought you should do. You've been trying to do what somebody else has tried to push on you. Or you've been trying to do what the religious community thinks you ought to be good for. You know how the religious community sets you in places, don't you? It's called volunteerism. Volunteerism isn't from God. You know, I never have to say, "Hey, Arm, I want to pick up that water over there. Would you volunteer? Do you? I need a volunteer here. Want to get the water?" No, because it's part of my body and the head just tells. And so here it is. I don't have to think about it. Amen. Think of how He's coordinated us. We can change hands. We can throw it up, maybe not drop it, right? Think about the things that God has done in His body. And it could be just as clear as it is in this natural body. In fact, clearer. This natural body is subject. Subject to a lot of things, right? But that spiritual body, that body that's on the inside of us. That's why you shouldn't be afraid. When Jonathan said this morning, "Speak it out." Man, I'll tell you what, you just need to speak it out. And don't wait. And if he started to sing again and you weren't done, then you go ahead and speak it out above him, right? Just go. That's right. That's what you'd want. That's what you were expecting, wasn't it? Amen. I want all of you to be bold because you know. Say, "I know." I want to hear boldness. The righteous are bold as a lion. That's right. The wicked flee when no one's pursuing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. No confusion. There's no place for confusion in me. If confusion comes, I cast it down right now. I refuse to have it. That means, you know, and it's gonna attack you. Don't get me wrong. There'll be times when there's gonna be that, but you know, I can remember those times coming on me, and also remember casting down the imaginations that are allowing them. Put them right out of the way. Just stop them. It'll make you a patient person. You won't be confused anymore. You won't be alone. You said that this morning. You know, you didn't say it just with these words, but it just reminded me of that old song, "Never Alone, Never Alone. I'll never be lonely again." Amen? Just think, you've got Him living on the inside. He dwells within you. He never leaves you and never forsakes you. Amen? Let's stand together.